Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. There are certain moments from the world of sports that not only go in the record books, but are also woven into a city's soul. Carlton Fisk's epic home run in 1975.
Or the Red Sox' historic comeback in 2004.
Adam Vinatieri's last-second Super Bowl field goal in 2001.
Those moments are so great because they stand in such contrast to those historic collapses, like the Red Sox in 1978 and 2003, the Bruins and the Celtics in 2010, to name just a few examples.
Well, last night's playoff game between the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs offered both agony and ecstasy. At one point, Toronto led 4-1. Then, with 82 seconds left in the game, the Bruins, trailing by 2 goals, scored twice, pushed the game into overtime, and then...
Marchand with it, hands it off. Bergeron is on, rebound, chance in front. Sagan is there, puck comes free, score! Patrice Bergeron, who tied the game, has won it in overtime.
An unbelievable comeback, ecstasy for Bruins fans, but unimaginable agony for Toronto fans who thought they had this one wrapped up, but it was not to be. Their season is over. And joining me now from Toronto is Vinay Menon. He's a feature writer with the Toronto Star, a diehard Maple Leafs fan. And Vinay, welcome to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you very much, Anthony. It's nice to be with you.
And of course,
actually, that's a lie. It's horrible to be.
Well, I can imagine, and I want to make clear at the beginning of this interview, we're not here to gloat, because honestly, we say your pain is unimaginable. But of course, in Boston, we know this pain too well, so we can certainly empathize. But tell us what it's like there in Toronto today.
Oh, it's just grim. You everywhere you go right now, you can still feel the weight of last night's loss. I mean, agony is really the only way to put it. It was a surreal game to watch. I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience in the third period. I mean, in about 10 minutes, we went from sure victory to stunning defeat.
Yeah, now I just want to remind our non-sports fans, listeners, of I think we have one or two, what happened here. The Boston Bruins were up 3-1 in this series. Your team battled back and forced last night's decisive Game 7. 10 minutes to go, as you said, they're up by 3 goals. Then with a minute 20 to go, you're still up by 2 goals. How do you make sense of how this happened?
I don't think it's possible to make sense of it. It's inexplicable. I mean, if you're a Leaf fan, I guess the only good thing is you're conditioned to this kind of disappointment. People around here will always say, well, hope springs eternal, but that's a lie. The truth is disappointment springs eternal.
Oh, boy. So the Leafs really have that image in Toronto. They always disappoint, do they?
Well, and put it this way, I watched the game last night with my twin daughters who were 6, and the last time the Leafs were even in the playoffs, they weren't alive. My kids had not been born yet. And, you know, as a father, I actually feel a little guilty this morning about exposing my kids to this franchise. It almost seems irresponsible.
Oh, dear.
One of my daughters this morning said, Daddy, why do you watch hockey if it makes you so sad?
Oh, my.
That's some bad parenting right there.
Well, it's understandable. A lot of us brought up kids, you know, in front of the TV watching Red Sox games for a long time, so I can understand. But give me a sense of what the city of Toronto was like yesterday. The game was played in Boston, of course. Were there a lot of folks out in the streets on the verge of celebrating?
Yeah, the bars were jammed. They'd open the Air Canada Center. People had actually amassed in the town square, sort of right beside the arena, to watch on a big screen. And, you know, when they were up 2-1 and even 3-1, you could almost feel throughout the whole city that, wow, something has been lifted off our backs and this is going to be something, and who knows how far they can go now. Then when Boston, you know, I still find it hard to talk about the third period, but when they made that just unimaginable comeback, you could just feel all the life in the city drain out. I mean, Leafs Nation, as our fan base is called, is essentially a republic of misery. To be a Leaf fan is to be a masochist. It is to not take an active interest in your own mental health.
Yeah. Headlines from your part of the world: heartbroken nation, ecstasy to agony. What else? I mean, give us a sense of how else this is being talked about, how it's being reported.
It's being reported as, you know, a stunning collapse. And even by the low standards that team has set over recent years, it's beyond the pale. People just can't still, I think, wrap their heads around what happened.
What accounts for this luck? You know, as you know, in this city, we spent a long time here talking about a curse when it came to the Red Sox till they finally won in 2004. Do people think of the Maple Leafs as cursed?
I think, you know, whatever talk there was of a curse, maybe in the early 70s and into the 80s, those fans are probably all dead now. Anyone with any sort of sense of a curse is gone. And now I think the fans of today just don't know what to make of this team. But the other strange thing is they can't stop watching. They can't stop cheering for this team.
Hmm. Well, Vinay Menon, my sympathies to you. Thank you and good luck and better luck next season.
Thank you very much. And actually, you know, Anthony, I know Boston is home to some of the best doctors in the world. If there's someone listening right now who has a cure for my Leafs fever, please get in touch.
All right. We'll keep that in mind. I'm sure there's some responsible and compassionate medical professionals listening who will be in touch. Vinay Menon, he's a feature writer with the Toronto Star. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.